We ate, we drank, and all in all, it was a very merry meeting. When the sisters began to clear the trestle tables, Prioress Everlyn took me to her private quarters, which consisted of a bedroom and a much larger office where a cat slept in a bar of sun on a huge oaken desk heaped high with papers. "Few men have been here, Roland," she said. "One was a fellow you might know. He had a white face and black clothes. Do you know the man of whom I speak?" "Martin Broadcloak," I said. The good food in my stomach was suddenly sour with hate and jealousy, I suppose, nor just on behalf of my father, whom Gabrielle of Arton had decorated with cuckold's horns. "Did he see her?" "He demanded to, but I refused and sent him hence. At first he declined to go, but I showed him my knife and told him there were other weapons in Serenity. Aye, and women who know how to use them. One, I said, was a gun. I reminded him that he was deep inside the Hasi and suggested that, unless he could fly, he had better take heed. He did, but before he went, he cursed me, and he cursed this place." She hesitated, stroked the cat, then looked up at me. "There was a time when I thought perhaps the Skin Man was his work." "I don't think so," I said. "Nor I, but neither of us will ever be entirely sure, will we?" The cat tried to climb into the vast playground of her lap, and Everlyn shooed it away. "Of one thing I am sure. He spoke to her anyway, although whether through the window of her cell late at night or only in her troubled dreams, no one will ever know. That secret she took with her into the clearing, poor woman." To this I did not reply. When one is amazed and heartsick, it's usually best to say nothing, for in that state, any word will be the wrong word. "Your lady mother quit her retirement with us shortly after we turned this Broadcloak fellow around. She said she had a duty to perform and much to atone for. She said her son would come here. I asked her how she knew, and she said, 'Because Ka is a wheel and it always turns.' She left this for you." Everlyn opened one of the many drawers of her desk and removed an envelope. Written on the front was my name in a hand I knew well. Only my father would have known it better. That hand had once turned the pages of a fine old book as she read me The Wind Through the Keyhole, I and many others. I loved all the stories held in the pages that hand turned, but never so much as I loved the hand itself. Even more, I loved the sound of the voice that told them as the wind blew outside. Those were the days before she was mazed and fell into the sad bitchery that brought her under a gun in another hand. My gun. My hand. Everlyn rose, smoothing her large apron. "I must go and see how things are advancing in other parts of my little kingdom. I'll bid you goodbye now, Roland, son of Gabrielle, only asking that you pull the door shut when you go. It will lock itself." "You trust me with your things?" I asked. She laughed, came around the desk, and kissed me again. "Gunslinger, I'd trust you with my life," said she, and left. She was so tall she had to duck her head when she went through the door.